this, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro, Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Central Florida and the world, have you heard the news? That for the next 3 hours, you are live with the American adversaries. Sunday night hullabaloo on 1520 WBZW and soon on WORL. Lair Adams here, and yes, I know there is big news about last night's decision, and we're going to talk about it. There are so many questions left from the Zimmerman trial, but for me, the biggest is, why was the Justice Department invested in what they hoped would be a different outcome? Now, the current administration has worked hard to reduce gun ownership and failed. They've worked tirelessly for gun control, and they've failed. If Mr. Zimmerman had been convicted, the message would have been, okay, you can keep your gun. You'll just go to jail for using it. Now, my co-host has a special gun permit. It allows him to shoot off his mouth whenever he likes. Christopher Hart!
That's right. It's called the First Amendment. Thank you very much, Lair Adams, and thank you folks very much for being with us this night. It's once again a beautiful, I think, afternoon here in Central Florida. You know, we've actually had a pretty mild summer so far. Lots of rain.
Love
and
it.
Decent temperatures given it is summertime in Florida. Humidity's always there, but nonetheless, hey, we'll take it. And we'll also take you folks as our audience because we so very much appreciate you for being with us. And once again, we are live. We are here from 5 to 8, and we welcome you to be a part of our show. And 407-774-8255 is the number. And certainly we'll open up the lines right now. I mean, we are the first live show where you folks can call and vent if you have something to say, some thoughts about the verdict last night. We'll definitely be dissecting it and the whole situation as the evening rolls along. I'm joined in the studio. Lair and I are joined in the studio by Johnny Guns, our WTF News Hound.
Yes, sir.
And also senior. Now, he's been promoted from regular correspondent, hoodie correspondent to senior hoodie correspondent for the Carl Jackson Show. And he was at the courthouse yesterday, and so he's going to tell us what was going on over there. And Tyler Israel's with us tonight.
He's a brave man, too.
Yep, Tyler Israel.
Hey, happy to be here.
All right, and it looks like we are now up on 660 WORL. Yeah, we the Rays, once again, congratulations to the Tampa Rays for a big victory today.
Just missed Lair's close there.
How about an opening? That's okay.
Opening. You'll catch the closing, hopefully.
Yeah, he'll do it again at 6 o'clock. How about that?
That's wishful thinking, I know.
But if you folks were listening to the post game and zipped up the dial, you knew to zip up the dial to 1520 WBZW because we simulcast up there, and whenever the Rays preempt us, that's where you'll find us. You can now go back to 660 WORL if you choose to do so.
Wasn't that like a big 5-0 on the Rays game?
I think it was 3-0. It was a shutout. I know that. It was a shutout. And maybe it was 5-0. Yeah. And I was following it. Just caught the last out. But I caught the first part of the game. Anyways, it was a shutout. So congratulations to David Archer, the pitcher, and the Tampa Bay Rays. Once again, they are really hot. You know, this is probably not such a great time to go for the All-Star to the All-Star break for them because they are just tearing it up.
Yeah, 110 out of the last 12.
Yeah. And what a 7 or 8 game winning streak going there.
Yeah. And Chris, what a great time for us to have our little contest on Wednesday nights where people can go a package of four can go to one of these fantastic Rays games and get a signed baseball.
That's right. Every Wednesday, folks, on our afternoon drive time show, we're on live from 5 to 6 Monday through Friday. And during our Wednesday show this season, we have each week we'll be giving away a family four-pack of tickets to a Rays home game. A home game pretty much of your choosing. There are a couple of restrictions, but not very many. And it'll be a game of your choosing up until the end of the regular season. And we'll also toss in, if you will, an authentic autographed baseball from the Rays. So get your tickets and have a ball, and we'll do that every Wednesday. So once again, congratulations to the Rays. And I want to say happy birthday. We got some happy birthday wishes we want to extend here to our man Jeff Sinis. That's right, who's producing the show. That's right, he produces our show every Sunday evening. He's been
with us. You guys.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Jeff. He's been with us from the start. We started on September 5th, 2010 on a Sunday night. Jeff was right there with us.
He's just a kid, too, folks. I think he's 11.
I was going to say 18 to give him a little credit.
That's right. So Jeff celebrated his birthday this past week, and I hope that we get to celebrate many, many, many more with you, Jeff.
That sounds good.
All right. Okay. So we've got Jeff Dowdy, who's going to join us at 6 o'clock, and we're going to get the sort of the tie up the loose ends, if you will, on the trial and sort of talk. I want to talk a little bit about where we go from here. I want to talk about my friend Tom, because I think he shows where we should go from here. At least he's showing the way that I think we should go from here. So we'll be talking about that in the 6 o'clock hour with Jeff Dowdy. We have Kent Arblaster from SAFE. They're going to be with us at 7. He's going to be with us at 7 o'clock. And during that hour, we've got a My Roxy giveaway. We're going to give away another bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And, folks, this stuff works. And how do I know? I'm using it, and it's working on me. You know, during the summertime, I do a lot of carpentry, and I get this little like rash, this heat rash. And
it's getting a little personal there, Chris.
I had one going. I had one a little bit going there, and I sprayed this stuff on it. Any itching went away immediately, and the stuff cleared up within a couple of days. I mean, I went and all the other stuff I had, I threw it out because this stuff takes its place. And so we're going to give away another bottle of that tonight. We're going to tell you other things that you can use it for. You can use this stuff for a lot of stuff, even cleaning out earwax, I understand. Well, so that's RoxyPacifics.net, and we'll tell you how to get some.
And we'll be talking about it later on. But the fact of the matter is, Chris, it has ingredients you're not going to find in the drugstore shelves, you know, with a hundred and zillion different skin treatments. You're not going to find the ingredients in this.
Well, having said that, let me tell you what the ingredients are in this.
Oh, my gosh, did I set you up or what?
All right. It's the key ingredients, key elements and essential vitamins are in found in the water are kelp, vitamins B1, B2, B3, B5, 6, B5 and 6, B12, omega-3, magnesium, omega-6, vitamin C, K, D, and E, niacin, iodine, and boron. All in the proper ratio. I mean, you know, you can actually use this for a mouthwash. And, you know, I sprayed a little bit on my tongue to see what it tastes like. It's sort of a hint of a seawater taste. I mean, it's not real strong. And it's all natural ingredients. And any chance of allergic reaction is extremely slim. And you can test it out with just a teeny bit on your finger if you're worried about it. And you can kids can use it. Pets, it can be used on pets. It's for people and fur.
Can't hurt you
people.
If you ingest it, anything like that. That's open source, anything like that, it won't hurt.
So and
any problems.
And starting this week, we've added Roxy Pacifics as a sponsor, and you'll be hearing their commercials on our show. Great little commercials, Lair and Ed Roxy put together for y'all.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that we could actually show people and kind of demonstrate it on our new webcam?
3D? We are playing around with a webcam. That's right, folks. You can't go anywhere right now and see us on the webcam, but we are doing a webcam thing here, and we're going to, in the near future.
We're not live right now?
No, we're in beta phase there, Lair.
I was doing my best work.
Well, that's all right. People will still be able to go see. it. They just can't see it right now live. So we're looking at adding different features to the show. We also have a couple of great new sponsors coming on. Want to thank them. And we still, of course, enjoy having Pasquale Barba as a sponsor. And he's going to try to drop in tonight as well. So we got a great show lined up for you. And, of course, we have Carl's Corner. Now, he's not going to be here tonight, nor is Nostra Dennis. Nostra Dennis is spending some time with his family. He greatly deserves it. And Carl is working hard on a blog that he's putting up about this whole Zimmerman affair, if you will. But he will be calling in to do Carl's Corner at the corner of this hour, if you will, the 45 corner. We got Johnny Guns with some WTF news. Nostra Dennis has loaded us up with some of his predictions from the past. And, of course, we can't close out the show without Lair's closing. So we got a full slate for you. It's going to be a great 3-hour tour. And we've got some sound bites for you, too. I know we don't do this a whole lot because we like doing the most of the talking. But we got some sound bites loaded up, some great sound bites, some by our friend Robert Zimmerman. I don't know if you guys caught him last night or not, but he was on Piers Morgan last night.
No, I did not.
Yeah, from New York live. It was taped. I don't know if it's taped or live, but it was after the verdict. Let's just put it that way. And we've got some sound bites from him. We've got a sound bite from Mark O'Mara and Don West, Angela Corey, and others. And don't forget, we're going to be playing our Who Said That contest as well. All right, so as I said, we've got a full slate of things going tonight. And, of course, we're going to start with the verdict. And it came down yesterday. And, Jeff, if you can cue up the verdict, we'll go ahead. And in case you haven't heard it yet, I'm sure all of you have. But this is what the verdict sounded like as read by the court clerk.
In the Circuit Court of the 18th Judicial Circuit in and for Seminole County, Florida, State of Florida versus George Zimmerman, verdict, we the jury find George Zimmerman not guilty. So say we all, four person.
And then, of course, and I was familiar with this. They normally do this in a trial. They polled the jury. In other words, they go to each juror and say, do you agree with this? They want to make sure that you're basically testifying in court that it is a unanimous verdict, which is what it has to be. And but other than that, I mean, it was extremely calm, extremely quiet, extremely, if you will, gracious in the way that the Zimmermans took the great news that they just received. There was no hooping and hollering. Of course, now the judge had admonished against that. The Martins were not there. Trayvon Martin's father and mother, Sabrina Fulton.
And Tracy. Exactly,
Tracy Martin. And it's probably better that they weren't there in either case, either way that it went. So we've got a lot more to talk about this. We're just getting started with it tonight. We're going to walk right through it. Rick's, I see, already on the line. If you folks would like to call in, 407-774-8255 is that number.
That's right, folks. We are here to discuss it with you. We're your local AM live talk about this whole situation, along with other events going on around the world. The American Adversary Sunday Night Edition, and we're going to be right back.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Tough guy.
All right, folks, we are back with the American Adversaries, and we are live. So if you've got a comment or something you want to get off your chest about this Zimmerman case, give us a call at 407-774-8255, and hang on to that number because you're going to need it when we do our My Roxy giveaway and when we do our Who Said That contest. All right. As we know, the verdict came down about 10 o'clock last night. And so let's go first to Rick, who'd like to make a couple of comments evidently about this case. Thank you, Rick, for calling.
Evening, guys.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing better than I deserve, but that's the way life is. Two comments about this. Number one, anybody that listens to Al Sharpton after this is a fool because this makes him 0-3.
Well,
the lacrosse Duke lacrosse, and now this.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just...
It doesn't matter to them.
You must be looking somehow. You must be... Is he... Are you? Can he see that camera and see what my outline says here?
He can't yet. Not yet.
In
I saw it earlier. I blew it.
In segment two on my outline, I've got here Al vows to fight on. Al not so Sharpton coming to town. And he is tickled pink, buddy, because he's got a whole new thing. He's loving this. Al Sharpton is loving this. And... heaven forbid that he ever be right. He doesn't have to be right. That's the beauty of what he's doing. He can be wrong all day long.
Often wrong, Al.
Yeah, and he is, by the way, folks, evidently coming back to town, and now he's demanding that the United States Department of Justice, headed up by Eric Holder, that they hold Zimmerman up on civil rights charges, federal civil rights charges. The only problem is, and we'll talk about this a little bit with Jeff Doughty when he arrives, is they came down with 108 agents last year and investigated him. They wanted to do just that already. And guess what? They couldn't find anything. The man is not a racist. All right, go ahead, Rick.
Second thing is, did you hear the Martins attorney talking about Trayvon and comparing him to Medgar Evers?
Yeah.
Did you hear what he said, though? He insulted not only Trayvon, but Medgar Evers.
Well, of course.
The man said that they will go that Trayvon would go down in the annals of.
He did say that.
Yes.
He said the annals of civil rights, and I'm going. Was that a Freudian slip?
Rick, I'm glad you brought that up. I thought my television messed up last night.
Yeah. I almost drove off the road when I heard it.
Obviously.
Well, it's this Preparation H kind of idea.
Obviously, he got his words mixed up a little bit there, but certainly, even the comparison itself is an insult to anybody that knows anything about the Evers case and everything.
I agree with that.
And so it's an insult, if nothing else, to our intelligence, and that's really what's been going on here from the very, very start.
Well, let me ask you this, gentlemen. Do you think that there's any chance that Martins may try a civil case?
Well, we're going to talk about that with Jeff Doughty, but the Martins have to be very careful, because in a civil case, I think, and we'll confirm this with Jeff Doughty, Trayvon's reputation would be more out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In other words, this stuff about the phone text messages, and all that stuff would be fair game, and they may not want to go down that path. I've got, if you will, a suggestion for Sabrina Fulton in particular and Tracy Martin as well. And we'll be going into that in the second hour of the show when Jeff Doughty's here. Rick, any more comments?
No, that's what I got for now. You know me. I'll probably have something later on.
All right. We appreciate it. Yep. Keep that phone handy. All right. Thank you, Rick, for calling. And once again, folks, you can join us as well. Sharpton is out there and saying that, you know, this is not over yet. This is basically, in so many words, it's round one. Mm-hmm. He thinks that there are grounds for civil rights violations. That's why he wants the Justice Department to get involved in this. And I wouldn't put it past the Justice Department to reopen the investigation and come down here and try to do it all over again. The problem is, this is going to be very, very difficult for them to prove that, because the man is just simply not a racist.
Now, Rick, Chris, I haven't heard what Al said, but what is Al's claim to this verdict?
He says, he's obviously very disappointed by it.
Mm-hmm.
He says that an unarmed teenager who committed no crime and did nothing wrong should be able to walk home with a bag of Skittles. You know, it's all the same old business, mm-hmm. the same old mm-hmm. Al, you know, it's the same old thing. Oh, Tawana Brawley, the Duke lacrosse, it's the same old tired, worn out stuff all over again. And he's just going to run this whole same old thing by us again. The problem that Sharpton has right now is that there was a trial. And that there's a whole lot more facts out there now in front of the public than used to be.
Well, that's happened in every one of his cases, especially with Tawana Brawley. There was a trial. It was like, oops, okay. All the claims you made you look like a fool.
Exactly. So now he'll come down here and he'll spit and he'll spark and this and that and the other thing. I don't know that the Justice Department's going to be able to move on this one or have the motivation to move on this one like they did before. Certainly the Justice Department wanted to, we now know, let's just say politely, take advantage of the situation down here, which is why they sent their organizers down here to participate in the rallies that called for the arrest of Zimmerman and this whole charade of a trial. Now you even hear liberals saying they never should have been charged, at least with second-degree murder, if anything at all.
Well, that's what's probably going to protect the Zimmermans from that, because there is so much that people are learning now about the Justice Department's involvement that they're already looking bad.
Once again.
Of course, they already look bad anyway.
This could come to play were this to be played out in a civil and or federal courtroom. Those things could come in where they weren't as part of this trial, because in that case, they would be a part of the overall allegations and the things that are going on. Thankfully, there was no violence last night.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was pretty calm. Johnny was there yesterday. Johnny, you were there in the morning. What did it look like in the morning there?
I was actually a little surprised. I wanted to get there during Carl's show so I could call in. I thought,
which you did,
which I did. I thought that there were that the demonstrators would be there in time for the jury to get there. I was surprised when I got there, and I was the only person that had arrived. I was there with a whole bunch of media, and I was basically interviewing media people.
I was going to say, did they like a bunch of locusts descend on you? Oh, there's a protester! Let's get him.
They actually did. CFN 13 came up to me. Fox 35 came up to me. And I had to tell them, basically, I'm here for the media, guys. I'm not picking a side. I'm not standing with anybody. But the first person that came out there about 8:40, was pro-George. And, again, the media just ran to him. As soon as they saw that he had
like
signs,
a pack of wolves.
They got him, and they were on TV recording him.
Now, you did get your picture taken by USA Today, didn't you?
I did. I had a lady from USA Today come up to me, and she's like, can I take your picture? And I was like,
what were you wearing, your little pants, shorts?
No. And believe me, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was already too hot for the hoodie. I took that thing off.
So what were you wearing?
I was wearing the black and white American Adversaries t-shirt.
Oh, there you go.
That's it. That got you on TV.
Not only that, but people also told me I was on Fox 35 and WESH. So.
Wow. You got a little celebrity sitting here.
A little exposure there, huh, Johnny?
Yeah, a little celeb going on here.
Folks, we are the American Adversaries. We're having too much fun, but we'll be right back.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Viz.
Good evening, everybody. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. We are
and on 1520.
And 1520 The Biz. Thank you, Lair Adams.
WBZW.
Yeah. WBZW. You never know what we're going to say on this show. We got Tyler Israel, Lair Adams, Chris Hart, the birthday boy, Jeff Sinis. Notably absent tonight are Nostra Dennis and Carl Jackson.
So now we can have fun.
I know. Yeah.
We'll do so much room
to breathe in here.
That's right. We'll get,
you got that right.
We'll get Carl's corner. We'll be doing that, however, later on in this half hour, and we'll do a little Nostradamus predicts the past here in just a minute. You know, we were talking before we went to the break there about how there was no violence. It's been a peaceful day here all day long in Central Florida, thank goodness. And actually, however, there was Tyler Israel did remind me that we did find a little bit of evidently violence last night about all this, but we had to go all the way to where?
Nothing more than a weekend in Chicago, but Oakland was seeing a few bricks through windows and a few cop cars were trashed apart, but you know, nothing that local police departments couldn't handle, right?
In Oakland, California, one police car was trashed and I guess a few windows were broken. Obviously, these were people who were just taking advantage of the situation. I mean, this is not anything that was organized. And I don't think that we're going to see any real organized violence. I don't think the protests are over. or anything like that. And these big mouthy, you know, Black Panther, new Panthers or whatever in the world they are, they're going to be running their mouths. But certainly the players involved in this still have to be cautious. We'll be playing some clips a little bit later on from Robert Jr. Robert is the older brother of George. Robert was on Piers Morgan last night. We have some sound bites from that.
Sir Piers Morgan.
Sir Piers Morgan, you're right. But at least anyway, it looks like people are taking this as adults. Mm-hmm. And Perhaps we are seeing finally a little, we're being shown, if you will, by six women, what Colonel McKnight talks about on our show oftentimes, and that is doing the hard right thing instead of the easy wrong thing. It would have been easy for those six women to walk out of there having convicted George Zimmerman of manslaughter, but they did not. They followed the law. I had a feeling that if they followed the law, if they followed the instructions, well, it wasn't a feeling, it was obvious to me, that if they did that, George Zimmerman would walk out of that courtroom a free man. And I held out that hope, and I believe I even mentioned it on the show. And they did. They did it. They did the hard right thing instead of the easy wrong thing. They did what the O.J. Simpson jury was incapable or unwilling to do. They stood up to all the media pressure, all the extraneous BS, and they went in there and they sat down and they took care of business, and they did it in a methodical fashion. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I've been in a jury room, and I know exactly how they went through it. I can almost see it in my mind. And having known that, I knew that it was on George's side. And when they came back now Saturday evening and they asked a question about manslaughter, I thought, oh, well, maybe not. But they went back and they worked hard and they did the hard right thing. And they did it in a proper fashion.
Well, now I've heard the reaction from people like Alec Baldwin, who did text out that only in Florida could you find six people stupid enough come back with a decision.
I wanted to make this point later, but the outpouring on Twitter and the social media, which a lot of people have gone to just to vent, as we see with these big events, but it is absolutely inciting violence. It is horrible. It is despicable. I mean, if you ask me, just the social media alone.
You mean the gentle left?
It has set apart race relations in the younger generation. I mean, back to, I don't want to say Rodney King, I wasn't around for that, but certainly the tensions between the younger generations today is higher than it ever has been.
They're trying to whip it up. They are absolutely trying to whip it up. This is why it is hard to do the right thing. You have to be willing to face that head on and back it down. Johnny, you wanted to say something.
I wanted to say, for everybody that's going to social media and expressing outrage, I want to read this one quote here that I think sums up how everybody who thought Zimmerman was guilty should handle the news. Quote, "We just want to have that trial and let the jury decide. And whatever decision comes out of that, we're going to accept that. We may not like it, but we're going to accept it." That quote from Sabrina Fulton.
And it's got a lot of wisdom in it.
Yeah.
You know, and she also said something on her Twitter last night after the verdict where she basically said it was in God's hands. Didn't she say something to that effect? We'll pull it up here and we'll read the Twitter from her account. And I thought how very similar that sounded to what George Zimmerman said on Sean Hannity when he said it was part of God's will, I believe is the phrase that he used. So,
and he was more talking about the outcome of that event
right.
being part of God's plan, not
right.
that the whole thing that Trayvon
right.
attacked him, etc.
Right. But something can come good out of this. As a matter of fact, in my mind, something great can come out of all of this. And the key player is going to be Sabrina Fulton. It's going to be up to Sabrina Fulton how this thing goes forward here. And to a lesser extent, but also Tracy Martin himself. But to me, Sabrina Fulton is the key player in what goes forward here. Do people do what the social media idiots are calling for? All right? Or do people try to use a little bit more wisdom, which is what she was expressing? Do you have it there, Johnny, her Twitter from last night? Tweet.
Yes. Her tweet was, "Lord, during my darkest hour, I lean on you. You're all that I have. At the end of the day, God is still in control. Thank you for all your prayers and support. I will love you forever, Trayvon, in the name of Jesus."
Yeah. God is still in control. That's very similar to what George Zimmerman said when he said it was God's will. God is in control, is what they're both saying. So I don't want to say get into it too much because I want to wait until Jeff Dowdy's here, but I have a suggestion, and it's not of my own design. It is of my friend Tom, and I will relate to you his story and how there are similarities and how he dealt with what Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin are feeling, if you will, right now. And so I think he shows us the path forward where Sabrina Fulton could really, if she wants to have a good legacy for her son, she will take this path. She will not take the civil lawsuit path. She will even call off the federal dogs. And I'll tell you what I mean a little bit more later on. We have Carl who's lining up for Carl's Corner here. We have some other stuff from Nostradamus that I want to get to as well. But real quickly, let me play you. I want to play you another sound bite. This is from Don West from last night. Jeff, can you run that bite from by Don West? This is in response to a question. He said that we didn't want this whole situation to go from a tragedy to a travesty. And the reporter asked him what he meant by that. This was his response.
The tragedy is the loss of Trayvon Martin's life in every respect. Regardless of what he was doing or immediately what led up to it, it's a tragic loss of life. It not only will impact, of course, Trayvon Martin's family and all those that knew him forever and ever. This event itself also impacts George Zimmerman forever and ever and ever. This is something no one gets over. There's no winners here. There's no monsters here. That's the tragedy. The travesty? It would have been a travesty of justice had George Zimmerman been convicted. That's the travesty.
He put it very well. He put it, and that's what we said, what, mm-hmm. a year ago, Lair? When we first started talking about this, that this was a tragedy, but it would only be made worse if an injustice were brought about in the name of it.
If cooler heads didn't prevail.
And the cooler heads did prevail. And it turned out to be six women up here in Seminole County. Well, God bless them all.
Cooler heads prevailed back in the beginning.
Well, they did around here.
You know, with the police department there in Sanford and even the prosecutorial department.
They knew
what they were going after, and they got booted out of the way. And that we have to find out why.
Oh, and by the way, talk about getting booted out of the way. Do you remember the guy that came on and he testified, and I believe it was not in the presence of the jury. We'll have to ask Jeff when he gets here in a few minutes. But he was the technician that worked in the evidence room or something like that, and he notified the judge or the defense that the prosecution was withholding evidence or withholding things that perhaps they should. He got fired yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they go up and lose the case. He's the only guy that kind of did anything right, and he's the one that gets the can. And oh, by the way, well, we're going to come up on a break. I want to go ahead and take the break, but that reputation of this Jacksonville prosecutor's office seeking retribution amongst those who don't play along, he's got a long list of victims, and he's only the latest.
That's right, and the stink goes a long way, Chris.
Sure
even
enough.
To our own governor in some respects.
Yeah, he appointed this woman.
You got it. We are the American adversaries. We don't back down from nobody. And we will be back.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, folks, welcome back. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. We are live. We'll be here with you until 8 o'clock tonight, and then we're going to hand off the ball, if you will, to Mark Walters, and he'll be with you live until 11 o'clock with Armed American Radio.
Chris, you do a great job talking with your mouth full.
That's right. I was going to say, we're going to welcome Pasquale Barba, our sponsor, into the studio with us this afternoon. He brought his babies with him. That's right, his baby Stromboles. They are
Can
excellent.
I say hello in 5 minutes or my mouth is full too?
Yes, that's right.
What a great time to have Carl call in.
That's right. We can eat while Carl talks. But thanks, Pasquale, for being with us tonight. And you know, you had some pretty powerful insights during this Zimmerman thing as it went along. For instance, you said that the screaming, you know, would be changed because he would have had stuff in his throat, and it turns out that stuff was his blood.
In a second, yes, especially tonight, I'm here. Well, I have a lot of things to talk about.
Okay, well, we're definitely going to be doing that.
But let's talk to Carl first.
Yeah, we'll be joined by Jeff Dowdy in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, Carl Jackson, great show you put on yesterday morning.
Hey, thank you, guys. It's good to be on, good to be listening, good to hear you guys. I miss you guys already. Love being in there. But as you know, what I'm doing is I'm actually going to be doing research, and I am researching to put together a blog that I will have ready for hopefully your listeners to read first thing tomorrow morning. And also, as I've been doing research, I've went ahead and went on Facebook to kind of see what was going on, even amongst my friends. And there's still a lot of tension out there. There's still a lot of heartbreak. But I want to underline that this is a great time for racial healing, despite the chaos of this case. And I do believe that the verdict was just. The ironic thing is I was flipping through Facebook trying to get a feel of how people were reacting, and I actually came across, my wife pointed me to something my brother had posted on Facebook, and I like to read it because I almost think it's better than any blog I could ever come up with, although I will be writing a blog entitled Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, What Now? So you can look for that first thing tomorrow at holyslant.com. But let me read this post because this really, he did a real great job. Here it is. I wish this had never happened. It's heartbreaking. I understand what Trayvon might have been thinking. I've been profiled, followed, treated as a suspect countless times. I can understand what GZ being George Zimmerman, might have been feeling because my home has been burglarized 3 times. My vehicle has been broken into 2 times. In my younger years in Cali, California, I've had a gun pulled on me 3 times. This happens daily, everywhere. In every type of racial scenario, the largest statistics being black on black. The largest statistic is black on black, but it isn't reported. All of it can't be. I'm sorry. I smell politics also. Reverend Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, President Obama, Mitt Romney, and countless others voice their opinions on this case. It has been blown up media-wise to epic proportions. I see a dichotomy amongst black and white believers that's shocking me right now. The same Christ that could have called 10,000 angels down to take his place knew the beginning and end of this case. We had better believe that. Pray for people's hearts to change. It's easy to hate and be bitter. Not so easy to love the unlovable. Christ died for the Martins and Zimmermans. He's got this. And I believe that post summed up everything we as believers need to represent. This is a great time for racial healing, not for racial division. I'm going to attack in the blog that I write the media influence and how they aim to make Zimmerman the object of outrage. I'm going to talk about the case and the evidence and the stats on black-on-black crime, which is much of the research that I'm doing. I'm gonna relay how Christians should respond to this, and it should be a response just like my brother had. The truth of the matter is, this is a great time for racial healing. As hard as this might be for some people, we can grow from this, and this isn't a reason to celebrate. I mean, I don't want to celebrate this verdict. I think it was a right and just verdict, but I'm not gonna go out in the streets and say, yeah, he's innocent. There's 2 families that are hurting right now. The Bible tells us to weep for those that weep and mourn with those that mourn. And right now, I mourn for the Martin family. I know they're hurting. Okay. But I also mourn for the Zimmerman family because I know they're hurting. But the verdict is just. It's the rule of law, and it's the right verdict.
Carl, in your research, are you going to, maybe you can help me out with this one. Are you going to be able to find out where the phrase white Hispanic came from?
Well,
this whole thing got confusing. You know, people weren't even sure what to call this man.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Until it fit what they needed.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it was a gentleman either from the New York Times. They came up with the concept of white Hispanic. I have to go back and research that, and I will. And if you guys have heard my show, so I've joked around and I've called Barack Obama the white African American. It's total nonsense, and it's the media's goal to divide us. But fortunately, thank God for shows like yours, shows like mine, because I think we're setting the tone. I think we're helping to lead the way, and I appreciate Johnny Gunn's going out to the courthouse yesterday, and I'm actually going to go out there later this week when Al Sharpton shows up, because I want to be the one, or want to be one of the ones anyway, that works to bring us together. And as sad as this case is, it's a great opportunity to bring people together. And I think one of the tools that we can use to do that is Facebook. I'm still seeing a lot of tension, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of frustration, but I've literally gone through a few posts now, and I've just expressed my views, not in a mean and hateful way, but I want people to understand that they didn't know all the facts. And it's okay. I feel like it's okay to confront. And honestly, it's a good time to confront, because what Al Sharpton is going to do, these people are frustrated now. He's going to take advantage of their frustration, and he's going to build on that. And I think this is an opportunity for us to jump in right now while the tension and emotions are still there, and to express our point of view. And yep. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Carl. And I'm glad you brought out the point of healing. That is the focus of what I'm going to be talking about in the next hour with Jeff Dowdy. Is in terms of where do we go from here. I see this, and this is in no celebratory sense, and I concur with your remarks and along those lines, but I also see this as a tremendous opportunity to turn away from the Al Sharpton types, the people who call themselves reverend, but they preach very little of the Christianity that they propose to be a follower of.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so I my hat's off to you for wanting to confront that. And so we're going to talk about tonight a specific way with specific people that we can attack this whole problem. And so we'll be talking about that in the next hour. But I appreciate, and I've so very much, and once again, folks, you'll be able to read Carl's work at holyslant.com. I appreciate the fact that you see this as an opportunity for healing. That is exactly what God has given us here. And it's up to us to take it and make it work. Let's go to Rick, because he has a comment for you as well, Carl. Rick,
hey,
go ahead.
Hey, guys. Carl, my brother from another mother.
You
say it the way that it is, my man. We need to tell Al Sharpton not to worry about one tragic black child getting shot in Florida. He needs to drag his sorry butt to Chicago and quit 500 black children getting killed every year.
Yeah.
He needs
not
to go
mention
there and
the
take
11
last week. He doesn't need to be in Florida.
Well,
yeah,
amen for that.
You're absolutely right. I'm also going to be, and I'm going to stress that people pray for the prosecution of Angela Corey, because this woman, in my opinion, is absolutely corrupt. And if justice is to be served, it's my opinion that she needs to be in prison. And I don't feel like that's wrong for a Christian to say we are to be subject to the governing authorities, and that woman should be subjected to the governing authorities above her. So I'm praying for some prison time for Angela Corey.
Well, see, that's just it, though, Carl. I think she was subject to the governing authorities above her. She was she's a puppet.
Puppet.
Yeah, she was doing what she was basically told to do, in my opinion. Or let's just put it this way. Obviously, I don't think somebody called her up and said, Angela Corey, here's what you're going to do. I think she kind of got the idea. You know, this is what I've got to do here. And all the, indicators led her in that direction.
Exactly. Whether or not he deserves a conviction, get one.
Yeah. Rick Scott could have appointed any prosecutor in the state including down there in Miami, which is where Sabrina is from, and that's where Trayvon lived. You know, he chose her. He chose her for a reason.
Quick point, because I know we got to go. I praise you guys for the courage that you have, and it's like that. I'm extremely disappointed in Rick Scott because he appointed her,
mm-hmm.
and that was a cowardice in my opinion.
Well,
so
once again,
I praise you guys for having the courage to speak on that.
Well, I appreciate that. And Rick Scott, though, I'm sure he was getting his ear bent by the people at the federal Department of Justice.
To stand.
I know it. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Rick.
When I listened to that news conference of the prosecutors, that guy that gave the closing arguments, it was like I wanted to jump through the radio and slap the guy. He was acting like George Zimmerman got off on a technicality, and he was guilty.
Well, they obviously believed they drank their own Kool-Aid, and but they got their little tails whipped, and I would have just loved to have been the driver of that car driving them home last night. All right, thank you guys both for calling in tonight.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to have Jeff Dowdy, and he's going to give us the lowdown on the legal stuff. So don't go away. We've got Pasquale Barba still in the studio as well.
And do not forget that phone number, 407-774-8255. We'd love to have you call in and give us your opinion, and we will be back with Jeff Dowdy.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
And here we go again, folks. That's right. We are the American Adversaries. We are live. We'll be with you until 8 o'clock tonight on our three-hour tour. We got the first hour in the can, starting down the second hour now. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams. We've got Tyler Israel in the studio. We've got Johnny Guns. We've got Pasquale Barba, who's in the studio. And we also have now joining us Jeff Dowdy, a prominent criminal defense attorney here in Central Florida, who has been doing a really great job of helping us understand everything from the beginning of this trial and pretty well told us beforehand how things would play out. And by golly, they did play out that way. And so, Jeff, once again, thank you so very much, not only for being here tonight, but for all of the work that you've done with us over the past couple or 3 weeks or so here.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. And I spoke with Robert Zimmerman earlier, and he wanted me to tell you that he wants to thank you from the bottom of his heart for supporting him throughout this ordeal for his brother.
Well, we appreciate that, and certainly our prayers still go out to both, as Carl said, the Zimmermans and Trayvon's family. Both have been through hell for different reasons, if you will, but they're both been through it. And Robert himself, I understand now, is also the subject of threats.
That's correct.
Evidently so. So are the Martins. They're claiming, and I have no reason not to disbelieve them. Sabrina Fulton, supposedly one of the reasons they went back to Miami last night is they were worried about a little bit about their security. Tyler's talked about the social media and how there's people out there drumming up, you know, all this ill will and hatred. And that's the last thing that we need right now.
It is.
As I said later on in this hour, I'm going to hopefully, if you will, help illuminate a path out of this mess. And it goes back to the key players. In the meantime, folks, we are live. If you would like to raise something or ask Jeff Dowdy a question, just get something off your chest about this. We're starting the healing tonight, folks. Okay, this is one reason why we're going to spend so much time on this tonight, is we're not going to let this just tragedy just be a tragedy if we can have anything to do about it. We're going to try to milk something positive out of this. And the only way that we can do that is by talking about it. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's go now to Avner from Winter Park. He's been holding on the line. Avner, thank you very much for calling tonight.
Thank you. It sounds great for Obama to say that it's time for calm or peaceful reflection, but then he says it's a tragedy for the Martin family and for America. What is he talking about?
You're talking about his most recent comments here in the last 24 hours or so?
Yes, just over the news break.
Yeah.
I mean, the Martin's death is a tragedy, but is he talking about the acquittal is a tragedy? What is the tragedy for America?
Well, see, that's the thing with Barack Obama. He uses phrases so that you can basically plug in whatever you want it to mean. And, oh, yeah, that's what, to him and probably a lot of people, it is. And, unfortunately, they're looking at it the wrong way. And we'll talk about later on about if blacks really do want to go beyond racism or not. It is up to them. And when he comes along saying statements like that, when Al Sharpton comes along saying statements that he's been making all day long about, well, we need to get the Justice Department and bring Zimmerman up on civil rights charges, you know, this is not, these are not the words of people who actually want to go beyond racism. They are the people who want to perpetuate it. Well, and that's what this president is trying subtly and slyly to do.
And also he has the advantage, Chris, of he can say something today and then have his pet monkey, Jay Carney, re-say it and say it differently and re-explain it tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you also talk about what, if any, jurisdiction the Department of Justice has? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for your call, Avner. Yeah, we'll be definitely doing that with Jeff Dowdy here. So real quickly, Jeff, let's go ahead, since he's already asked the question. You know, part of our theme for tonight is where do we go from here? And there are, you know, certain realities. First of all, civil case. Is it possible, is it likely that the family of Trayvon Martin will file a civil suit similar to the O.J. Simpson civil suit against the George Zimmerman?
Well, I know there was a lawsuit against the condominium association when this first happened. It was settled, I believe, for approximately $1 million. I am not sure if George Zimmerman was a named defendant in that case. If he was a named defendant, then they would be stopped.
That would already, it would already have been done,
exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
It would already have been filed and settled.
Exactly. So I don't know if that's done. If he was not named, I mean, they could, but we have to let it go.
Yeah. Now, I understand that sentiment, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But first of all, if there were to be a civil case, would it not also be more possible for the defense to bring out Trayvon's past, if you will, and those records and all that stuff?
Oh, absolutely. The rules of evidence are completely more liberal when it comes to a civil wrongful death suit. You would hear everything. All the stuff that you did not hear in a criminal trial would be fair game in a civil lawsuit. Absolutely.
So perhaps Trayvon's parents would more likely think twice than to subject their son's reputation, if you will, to that exposure.
Well, they filed a lawsuit. They recovered money from the condominium association. Let's rest. Let's let it go.
Well, yeah. Now, what about, speaking of lawsuits, especially civil lawsuits, what about the possible lawsuit George has with NBC News? Do you know anything about that?
That is pending, and I believe they're still going to pursue that.
I would hope so.
Yes.
All right. Now let's talk about the Justice Department and Al Sharpton's, you know, calls for the Justice Department to now bring George up on civil rights charges. First of all, give us a review of what happened last year with the Justice Department.
Last year when this first happened, the Department of Justice sat down 100 agents down here. They interviewed everybody that George Zimmerman and his family ever knew. They were all interviewed. They were all interviewed for possible violation of civil rights. There was nothing to be found.
This was
and I don't see anything that's changed in the last 12 months.
And as a matter of fact, they found out things like that George and his wife mentored black children and helped out the black neighbor next door. Everything that you would not expect a racist to do, they found basically the Zimmermans doing.
Right, and there was nothing there. And I don't know what Al Sharpton has said today, but I just don't foresee a civil rights lawsuit.
Because there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
I mean, and the federal prosecutors, I suggest, would probably be a little bit more careful to go down a path like the Jacksonville prosecutor's office seemed willing to go down.
I don't want to even go down that path.
All right.
Well, you heard Carl Jackson's opinion of the prosecutor in this state, and you have some similar feelings?
Similar feelings. I listened to Don West last night. As you know, he's a dear friend of mine, and it was just a travesty. I mean, Don and I, we've done death penalty cases, and that's the most highest stakes criminal case you could have. And you're supposed to have open discovery. You're supposed to exchange. It's a pursuit of the truth and justice. What happened in Jacksonville and what Angela Corey's office did was withhold evidence from the defense is just travesty, and she needs to be held accountable for it. It's unheard of. And I've done cases all over the state of Florida, and I've never seen anything like this before. Neither has Don.
Pasquale, you wanted to say something.
Well, we know everything is about the news, TV, newspaper. They ever end up north to come down here and they put all of these things together. But what I think, what we need to do, first of all, I feel devastated and deep inside. I feel very sorry for Trayvon family. I mean, yes, they lost a child. But now let's put this beside. One kid's die. How many more people they need to die the way they ended the things about now black and white? And I think everything right now it's put upside down. I think a lot of people, they don't know in this country, they don't wake up for the reality and they don't know the rules. They don't know the law. I am Italian. I'm American citizen. And I think I know more than anybody else in this country the law, how real it is. And I think some people, they need to be educated. That's what I see every day. I was following this case for day one, to yesterday and to this morning also, still now today, people on TV, they cry, so poor Trayvon, so poor Trayvon. For my heart, yes. But when they say poor Trayvon and say why Zimmerman was come out for the car, they don't understand the law. He was on the moment there. He was to the neighborhood watch. They told him to stay in the car. He come out for the car. It's no against the law. I can be in my neighborhood, I can be in my car, I see somebody suspect, I can go out, I can follow the person and see what he's doing, especially if in my neighborhood every couple of weeks somebody break in, I want to see what is going. And then if this person attack me, I have to defend myself. So, and that's what we're going on right now. People, they don't know the law. They think Zimmerman was ever gone and shot the kids. But let's put these things on the table, how real the law is. If I have the permit to have a gun, I can carry the gun whatever I want. So long I don't go in court with my gun, I don't go in school with my gun, I can carry a gun. So now my point is to everybody who don't understand the law, if you fear for somebody won't kill you, if somebody have a knife in hand, if somebody have a piece of plywood in hand and try to kill you, you can use the force. And if you have the gun, that's the force you can use. When we go now back to Zimmerman and Trayvon, they said the poor kids. Everybody showed this picture on TV when he was 13 years old, 12 years old. They don't talk about Zimmerman who was 5'11", with especially a night raining, and he was having a jacket on top of him. He was look a little bit more bigger. I am 5'6", and when I am next to the person, it's 5'11", I look so small.
No.
What I'm trying to say, at night, when you are on the street, and maybe you was trying to talk to him about, hey, what do you do here? And then he got punched, and then he got beat up. We can see the all evidence, the nose, the head. But don't let's forget about what Mark O'Meara said. You don't need any scratch on your finger to use the force. If you feel fear, you can use the force to self-defense. And I think a lot of people, they see only he went out for the car. But let's tell these people, you can defend yourself.
And that is part of the problem here, isn't it, Jeff, is that everybody is out there talking about things that don't really matter in this case. And Pasquale's absolutely right. Nothing really mattered in this case except the fight. Isn't that correct?
That's right. And, you know, they tried to get a special jury instruction to show that it was not illegal to get out of the car. And granted, it was probably a terrible decision. Was it against the law? No. I mean, the fight was the issue.
Yeah, and this is why I was encouraged that, that this jury, and in particular, the longer it took, it sort of told me that somebody in there got it.
They worked hard.
Somebody in there understood what was going on, and they were just trying to make sure everybody followed along, if you will.
Well, right.
And because the law was specific, the law was, like Pasquale said, was correct. Zimmerman was correct in what he did. If they simply followed the law and the instructions, they came to the place where they came.
Well, that's what everybody said. Oh, if I were to stay in a car, the kids and I would be dead. We know that. But it happened, it was in a car. It was outside of the car, and maybe it was looking Trevon where he was going. We cannot say if.
You can't second guess.
We cannot second guess.
It doesn't do any good.
We lost over 6,000 military to go in a war. We cannot use the words if we don't go in Iraq, if we don't go in Afghanistan, if the Twin Towers would be bombed. We cannot use the words if. Things happen daily. And like Carl said before, go look in Chicago what happened every day. Over 5,000 kids that die every year.
Yeah, he's absolutely right, folks. Okay, well, we've got a lot more to talk about this. Jeff Dowdy's going to be with us the rest of the hour. You can join us, too, at 407-774-8255. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be playing our Who Said That contest. And it's a quote that has to do with this whole Zimmerman-Trayvon tragedy. And we also still have a lot to go even after that. So please stay with us.
Absolutely. American Adversaries, don't forget, we're here 6 days a week, Sunday nights, 5 to 8 o'clock. And then Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 o'clock. If you want to call in, 407-774-8255. We'll be back.
And we are live. Call in.
Yeah.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Of course we can take it because we're tough. We are The American Adversaries, and we are live on this beautiful Sunday evening. Folks, I guess I really messed up before the break. I gave out our phone number, and guess what? People used it, and they called in. We have some callers in right now that have some questions for Jeff Dowdy, and again, we're so proud to have Jeff Dowdy here, our expert on the Zimmerman case. First, we're going to Mike from Orlando. Mike, how are you tonight, and thanks for calling in.
Hey, how's it going? I'm just wondering if he could explain something that I think his name is Bill Schaefer that works with Channel 9.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He made the statement last night that the state lost their chance for a guilty verdict when they allowed the self-serving statements of George Zimmerman in.
Yes.
Okay. Jeff will explain that. Go ahead, Jeff.
I have a lot to say about that. What Bill was referring to is that in a self-defense case, the defendant always has to take the stand. And what happened here, the prosecution played his statements from these interviews, like the Sean Hannity show and some other shows, and his interview with the police, and therefore they eliminated the need for George Zimmerman to take the witness stand. And what that did, he was not subjected to cross-examination. They could never impeach him. What Schaefer, I think Mr. Schaefer might have been alluding to also, is that in hindsight, what they should have done is played those interviews for rebuttal. George Zimmerman would have had to have taken the witness stand, would have had to testify to how it happened, and then they could have used those interviews to impeach him and rebuttal. But when they played it in the beginning, they eliminated the need for him to testify.
So it was a strategic error, if you will.
Absolutely.
Or choice that was made by the prosecution that didn't work in their favor. And
yeah, it was pure strategy on their part.
Absolutely. Okay, and let's go to Rick. Rick, real quickly, thanks for calling back.
Hey, guys. You know, the thing that really irritates me about this whole thing is people keep saying if Zimmerman hadn't gotten out of his truck.
Yeah, well, that's what Pasquale was just talking about.
And the thing that I look at is, okay, fine. It's not illegal for him to get out of his truck.
Right.
But if Trayvon had not turned around and confronted Zimmerman, and gone on to the house he was going to.
Right. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Rick. And I appreciate the call. You know, there's just so many opportunities in here. For instance, Trayvon, after he spoke with Rachel Gentile the first time, there was a 4-minute gap. He could have gone home.
Correct.
He could have gone where he was supposed to be going. So, you know, we don't really have to go down that route, though. It's all done. It's all over. And what's done is done. And what we can do now is try to take something out of this that will be positive. And Pasquale's partly right. Absolutely. If more people knew what they were talking about when it comes to the law and stuff like getting out of the car and this and that business, how it didn't matter, well, then perhaps there wouldn't be so many hard feelings out there. But then you have the likes of Al Sharpton going around saying such stupid stuff like Trayvon did nothing wrong. Yes, he did. He was beating the hell out of this guy. That was wrong. Okay? And I'm convinced that what Trayvon decided that night was that he was going to teach George a lesson. He was going to teach that creepy cracker a lesson. That's why he didn't go home. That's why he stuck around. And unfortunately, now that's why he is dead. Let's go to Eva. Thank you, Eva, for calling.
I want to thank Jeff for helping you all cover us to know what's what, because just as you mentioned, somebody mentioned Mr. Schaefer. I watch all of them, and then I listen to your show, and I had a more clear understanding. And I think what we should do with your show is, now, you mentioned that lady that was in control of the prosecution.
Angela Corey?
Yes, ma'am.
Honey, that brought me to know who I vote for, because I voted for Rick Scott. Now, as I understand, Rick Scott appointed her.
Correct.
Now, he did the same thing for the Casey Anderson story. That guy, the judge, Perry, he caused Casey to get out of it because he moved to Miami. They're very liberal down there, and he knew that.
Well, he actually got a jury from Pinellas County.
All I'm saying, and this is something else, I understand that Zimmerman should have been tried by his peers. Well, let me tell you something. Women and men think different. So those six women on the jury would not have reacted the same way a man reacted.
Well, that may be true.
That's
but
a good point.
At least in
That's
the
a
end,
a good point.
At least in the end, they did what they were supposed to do.
Exactly.
They followed the law, and they followed the instructions.
You know what? People were praying that God would let the truth be known.
And it was.
Yes.
And
that's
if they're willing to accept it.
Yeah. Well, that's always the case.
Well, the thing of it is, only two people know what happened. That was Trayvon, and that was Zimmerman, and God. Nobody else. Everything else is feelings and hearsay, and that don't count in a court of law.
Well, but we do have a great deal of evidence, and that did count in a court of law.
Thank
and that's
you.
What got George Zimmerman free, the evidence, nothing
exactly.
else.
And I
thank
want
you.
To thank Pasquale. Thank you, sir, for sponsoring or help sponsor the show. It's very good, very informative. And as soon as I lose some weight, I'm coming out there to eat.
Thank you, Eva. But in the restaurant, we have also food to lose weight.
That's right. Yeah, they have many, very many healthy dishes, and a lot of them are vegetarian, or they go easy on the meat, a lot of fish.
Anyway, I'm sorry interrupting, but we need a lot of people like you in this country, and things would be so much different, and I don't think we would talk about what we talk about right now.
All right.
Well, we need people like you. A lot of people sit on the couch and they complain.
Oh, boy.
And
you're so right.
You've got to get involved.
Thank you, Eva. Listen, we got to go. We got to go to the break.
Thank you so much for saying that.
And Pasquale, she's absolutely right. We thank you so very much for being a sponsor.
Callers, hang on.
Ho! Hey, folks. This is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And I listen to the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. Tough guy.
All right. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We are live here tonight, and we'll be here until 8 o'clock. Jeff Dowdy once again is with us. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams, Tyler Israel, Johnny Guns, and Pasquale Barber and Jeff Sinis, the birthday boy. We'll be here, as I said, till 8 o'clock. You can join us, as Tim has done, and he's holding on the line. Hold on, Tim. We'll get to you. And, by the way, Tim, thanks for the Twinkies. And we'll talk about that when we get Tim on the line. But, Pasquale, I want to thank you for being a sponsor of our show.
Love
for them. Over 2 years. You came on board in March of 2011, and it's been a great time having you here, and we wouldn't be able to continue to do this show had not been for you. So thank you so very much.
We are honored.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Having said that, folks, it is now time for our Who Said That contest, which is sponsored by Cafe Positano and Pasquale Barba, where food is not a commodity. It is a passion. And they have both casual and fine dining, a full bar, and you can make reservations, banquets, parties, you name it. Give them a call at 407-774-8080. That's 407-774-8080. That restaurant is 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. And we were in there last week and had a great meal and great discussion while we were there. Okay, folks, our Who Said That contest, very easy to play if you've never played it before. We read a quote. You simply call us up at 407-774-8255 and tell us who said it, and you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and an American Adversaries t-shirt. So here's the quote for tonight. Who said this right here? And I quote, "I think all of us have to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen." This person is talking about the Trayvon Martin tragedy. "I think all of us have to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen." If you know who said that, 407-774-8255 is the number. In just a couple minutes, I want to tell you about my friend Tom, because I think that there is a moral in his life story, if you will, that will apply here. And perhaps we can take this situation and turn it into something, for lack of a better word, positive. In the meantime, Jeff, I'd like you to play that Mark O'Mara clip from last night press conference right after the verdict. This is Mark O'Mara in response to a question, the last question of the night, if you will. Go ahead.
"You guys, the media, he was like a patient in an operating table where mad scientists were committing experiments on him, and he had no anesthesia. He didn't know why he was turned in to this monster, but quite honestly, you guys had a lot to do with it. You just did, because you took a story that was fed to you, and you ran with it, and you ran right over him. And that was horrid to him."
Mark O'Meara is talking to the media about the media. And Mark O'Meara, thank you, sir, for telling it to their faces. And I'm here to tell you, folks, they were dead silent when he finished speaking. There were no more questions. Perhaps they will contemplate for a moment what they did, the role that they played in all of this, how they took this tragic situation and spun it up, and in the process trashed all over the memory, if you will, of Trayvon Martin and the rights of George Zimmerman. There was nothing good about what the mainstream media did in this. When a couple of guys like Lair and me, we weren't on the air on our daytime show, what, 2 weeks, Lair?
When it's broke, that's right.
And we got it right. We got it right from the start. And by the way, folks, I'm holding in my hand the CDs from those first couple of shows when we first started talking about this. I wanted to play a couple of clips tonight, but I didn't get here in time to load it up. But it will be put into our archives. And you will be able to hear our very first response to this whole situation. And we got it right from the start. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that if we could do it, why couldn't these brainiacs who get paid the big bucks to look pretty in front of the camera?
Well, it didn't take brains, Chris. It took common sense.
Well, thank God it didn't take brains, because I ain't got much, and I was able to figure it out. So
that was my point.
That's why we got guys like Jeff Dowdy around. But let's go to Tim from Castleberry, and then I'm going to tell you about my friend Tom. Tim, thank you for calling. And thank you for the Twinkies. We appreciate it. I'm holding up in front of our camera now, which we're going to be putting up on our archive as well. Go ahead.
Well, that's a great comeback story of union busting.
Yeah, absolutely, the Twinkie story. We'll have to save that one for another night, though.
Right. But I wanted to thank you for all that you did put into it, and I know that you called it right in the beginning, and I know Jeff, hearing Jeff every day during the trial and before the trial.
Thank you.
Has been a great, great asset, and I just thank Pasquale for getting involved to keep things going. And I just think the media did what they were told to do.
Well, in this case, the media did what I just beg to disagree with you. The media did what they're used to doing. Oh, well, Mark O'Meara hit it right. Mark O'Meara hit it right on the head. They ran with the BS that they were fed. And they were fed this BS by the likes of Al Sharpton and Ben Crump. Am I not right, well, Jeff Dowdy?
I'd have to agree with that. I mean, it was a normal case, and it just got blown way out of proportion.
Well, that's what the liberals want.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way they do things. That's a matter.
Unfortunately, Chief Bill Lee lost his job over it.
Yeah, and as Norm Wolfinger, you know, his reputation was trashed over the whole thing. A lifetime. He served the county, Seminole County, for a long time, faithfully.
And the IT from the state attorney's office was fired.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping a whistleblower suit comes out of that.
Yeah, just that yesterday.
Wrong.
Now, he's the one who said that the prosecution was withholding data.
They were withholding evidence, and he knew it, and he said something about it. He got fired for it.
Once again, hats off to him as well as the jury for standing up and doing, as Colonel McKnight puts it, the hard right thing instead of the easy wrong thing. He could have done the easy wrong thing, could have kept his mouth shut and kept his job.
Right.
But he didn't.
Do you have any clue as to what that information was that was withheld?
He knew that they had that cell phone that had information on it that was relevant to the case back in January, and they buried it.
Till almost June, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate you being out there.
Well, listen, I know who didn't say the quote.
Who?
And it wasn't Al Sharpton.
You're absolutely right about that.
What makes you think that?
Once again, folks, we're playing our Who Said That contest. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. And thank you for going to Cafe Positano. Okay. Who said this right here, folks? If you know who, give us a call. I think all of us have to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen. Let me read it again because I kind of mangled it. I think all of us have to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen. Still had a little trouble with that word, searching. Ladies and gentlemen.
Don't tell me it's Mark O'Meara.
No, it wasn't Mark O'Meara. But it was a player, a major player, if you will, in this whole sordid affair. I'm just kind of running out of things. I don't really know what to call it. But I do know that there's an opportunity here. And let me explain what I mean. This whole situation has reminded me a great deal of my friend Tom Weigel. Now, if you folks have lived in Orlando a long time like I have, you remember Tom's Pizza. Tom had 38 pizza shops all over Central Florida, including over on the East Coast. And Tom made a lot of people in this town very wealthy, and they are still very wealthy. Tom did real well. He's 80 years old now. He's in semi-retirement because he's in charge of a trust which controls about 70 acres up in Georgia. And Tom had a couple of daughters, and later on in life, he had a son, Tommy. Tommy was a kid, you know, trying to find his way in life, as most kids try to do. And he was working, and when he was about 23 years old, he decided that he wanted to be a triathlete, okay? And which is, if you don't know anything about triathlete, you run a marathon, then you ride a bike, I think, 100 miles, and you have to swim, what is it, Lair, 2 or 3 miles or something like that?
It's way beyond what I can do. I know that.
So he basically put himself in training. And this kid had a bicycle, and it wasn't any super-duper handcrafted nothing. It was basically a Schwinn or something like that off the rack. And this kid would ride that bicycle all over the place. And I do mean that literally. This kid would ride his bicycle to Leesburg and back. Okay, he's training for a triathlete, to be a triathlete. Well, one night after work, he got off work, and he would ride his bike a lot at night, and the family would implore him not to do so because the streets of Central Florida are some of the worst in the world when it comes to riding a bicycle and walking, but for that matter, folks. He rode his bike up here, I guess, to Mount Dora. He lived with his dad, Tom, in Winter Park. And after work, he rode his bike up, I believe, to Mount Dora, somewhere up the road here, and was on his way back on 441. This was late at night. And sure enough, hit-and-run driver hit him and killed him. Probably died instantly very, very soon after he was struck. Don't know if the guy got out of the car even to look and see what he did, but he clearly knew what he had done because he took steps to avoid being caught. And if you ever are, yes, Jeff, please give me 5 more minutes. If you ever are in a hit-and-run situation, folks, turn yourself in. Jeff, tell him. It is one of the least, least successful crimes to commit.
That's right. You're always going to get caught.
You're always going to get caught. This guy got caught. And, of course, he was convicted. They had plenty of evidence. And I can't remember the particulars of the case. He may have even pleaded guilty. At some point, though, and this I presume would have happened had George been found guilty, the victim's family get to come in and basically tell the court, you know, their feelings about their loss. And when my friend Tom Weigel was invited to come into the court, he appeared that day. And when he was called up on the stand, they asked him basically what he thought. I don't know the particulars, if they thought what should be done to the defendant. But my friend Tom Weigel looked over at him and he said, "I forgive him." The kid burst into tears. The kid was beside himself. That was the last thing he expected to hear out of my friend's mouth. "I forgive him." And I'm here to tell you, folks, this happened a number of years ago. And he did. He did forgive this man. And I'm here to tell you that Tom lives a good life. He is not walking around a bitter man. This is the key to this, to forgiveness, folks. Forgiveness isn't so much, I mean, it is kind of, but it isn't so much for the person you are forgiving as it is for you, the forgiver. Tom rid himself of the resentment, the hatred, all the negative feelings that we are so naturally going to feel. This is why Jesus in the Bible tells us to forgive. The wisdom is that it is good for all parties, in particular the person who has been the victim of the offense, if you will. So my suggestion in this case is, if anything positive is going to come out of, for instance, the life of Trayvon Martin, and by the way, Ben Crump was on the TV this morning saying that the Martins don't want the death of their son to be in vain. Well, if they do want it to be in vain, just follow Al Sharpton down to the Department of Justice and keep that nonsense up. But if you don't want the boy's life to be in vain, then here's what you do. You get a hold of George Zimmerman, and you tell him, "I forgive you." Put this little image in your mind. George Zimmerman and Sabrina Fulton going on Oprah Winfrey, or going on the evening news, going on Bill O'Reilly, going on all the shows, and showing the world that this is how it can be done. This is how we can move beyond idiots like Al Sharpton and the hatred that is being spewed on the social media. There is no other way than this way here. And it would be good for all the parties involved. And I know for a fact, and Jeff, tell me if I'm wrong, George would be willing to do this, would he not?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
And Sabrina Fulton has shown me that I think it's within her, too, as well. Remember the interview where she said, I think it was to Katie Couric or somebody on the morning show, and then Ben Crump jumps in right away and straightens her out. But basically, she said it could have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
She said that the situation could have been a mistake. She entertains the thought, and she sat there and watched the evidence. And I'm here to tell you, that poor woman feels guilt probably more than anything else. And this would be the way to cleanse her own soul, as well as the rest of us, in the process. Tom shows us the way. The way is forgiveness. It would be so immensely powerful to see these two people together on a TV set talking about forgiveness, holding hands. That is what I would like to see. That is what I would like to see come out of this. Because that would show us the path out of the hatred, away from the hatred, and into the light. All right, it's time for a break.
No.
All right, folks, you are listening to The American Adversaries, our Sunday night edition. We're going to be back here with a crew full of people. We have Pasquale Barba, we have Johnny Guns, Christopher Hart, myself, Lair Adams, and our special guest, Mr. Jeff Doughty. So please, do not go away. We will be right back.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz. If you can take it.
That's right. The Sunday night edition of the American Adversaries is in full force. We're in round number two of our three-hour tour. And you are listening to Lair Adams, along with my co-host Christopher Hart. Jeff Dowdy's here and with us. Johnny Gunn. We have Tyler Israel with us. And, of course, Pasquale Barba. And special happy birthday to Jeff Sinas behind the glass. All right, this time, folks, we're going to go back to Chris because we need him to reread today's quote so you can tell us who said that.
Who said this right here, folks? I think all of us have to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen. If you know who said that, give us a call at 407-774-8255. If you just have any comments about or questions for Jeff Dowdy. By the way, Jeff's going on vacation tomorrow. Well-deserved vacation.
Yes, thank you.
So, but he'll be back with us in the future. As we consider Jeff now part of the family.
Great. Thank you.
So let's go to Rick from Orlando. Rick, is this a call about the who said that quote?
Yes, and if I'm right, I want to give it to Eva.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Who said?
I believe it was said by our incompetent in chief in the White House.
You mean Gumby?
Yes, Gumby said it.
You think it was Barack Hussein Obama?
Yes.
Jeff hit it. Let's see who it was.
All of us have to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen. And that means that we examine the laws and the context for what happened. As well as the specifics of the incident. But my main message is to the parents of Trayvon Martin. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. And, you know, I think they are right to expect that all of us, as Americans, are going to take this with the seriousness it deserves and that we're going to get to the bottom of exactly what happened.
Looks like that's what we did, Jeff. We got to the bottom of exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the president doesn't like it. Rick, you're absolutely right. It was Barack
ding,
Obama.
Ding, ding, ding. You won it.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's for Eva. Eva, this is all for you. You need to experience the joy of eating at Pasquale Barba's Cafe Positano.
That's right. And she can
thank
eat.
You, Rick.
That's right. You know, I was over talking with your brother, Roberto, the other day for a little while, and he was telling me you guys got, like, more than half your menu is vegetarian stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's really good food. Rick, thank you very much. And
my wife is vegan, and she does enjoy the menu at Cafe Positano.
That's right. And he's got gluten-free items on the menu, too, folks,
thank you again.
Thank you so much.
All right, Rick, we appreciate you being out there. So where do we go from here, you know?
Well, I think one thing that's important is people have to realize this event seems like a big event, but in each and every person's life, this doesn't affect you. I mean, there's some things about this case to do, but really, this case is done, it's over, and any bad feelings you have, shame on you right now. Get on with your own lives.
No, I agree. You're right. We need to move on.
Yeah. And Robert Jr., who's been on our show a couple of times, and we'll look forward to having Robert back. He was on Piers Morgan last night. He had some pretty good things to say as well. I want to play a couple of those for you right now.
But before you play, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
We still have room if somebody call in and talk about the Zimmerman case or talk to Jeff, to Loyal here. We still can give a gift certificate.
You can do that.
They don't have to win something, but I mean...
Okay, so what? The next
just to call in and talk a few seconds about Zimmerman, or what they think, and they get a gift certificate.
All right, folks. The next couple of callers will give a $20 gift card to you for calling in. It looks like we've already got a taker on that.
That didn't take long.
A call is coming in right now. Before we do that, though, I do want to play a couple of clips here that Robert, this is Robert last night on Piers Morgan, and then we're going to go to Kathleen, who's calling in. But, Jeff, if you could, first play the clip looking over, and then play Vigilantes also on top of that, if you would, please.
He has always feared for his safety. We have always feared for his safety and our safety as a family. Clearly, you know, he's a free man in the eyes of the court, but he's going to be looking around his shoulder for the rest of his life.
And vigilantes?
We're always going to be concerned about our safety and Georgia's safety in terms of vigilantes, or, you know, there's threats all the time directed at George.
You know, you told us something interesting that we chose not to reveal on the air, but I think we can now, that one of the reasons why George looked so hefty on TV was he had gained some weight, but also...
Bulletproof vest.
The state had him wearing a bulletproof vest.
I knew that and didn't think about that.
No, he didn't. Every day.
Swell you up there.
Jeff told me, and I knew we'd have time to mention it later on. Okay, let's go to Kathleen. Kathleen, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
No, I haven't, but it sounds like a place I'd really like to go.
It is, and you're going now with a $20 gift card in your pocketbook.
Thank you so much.
Just make sure you stay on the line so Jeff can get your information. And
real quickly, your
question for Jeff.
There's something that's been on my mind regarding this case, and thank you so much for all your information, and that is, why can't the sentence attached to a charge be made known to the jury? Because when they came back with questions about manslaughter, I said, oh no, they're going for the lesser charge, but they don't realize the sentence is just about the same.
Right. Good. Excellent question,
yes,
Kathleen.
Excellent. That's a great question, Kathleen. Unfortunately, the jury instructions will specifically state that the jury is not to consider the sentence. That's solely up to the judge. And I've had trials where the jury has found out that even though they made a compromise verdict or found a person guilty of a lesser charge, they were shocked by the sentencing and they did not intend for that to happen.
Yes.
That's just part of the way the Florida law is that other than a death penalty case where that's just a recommendation, the sentence is solely up to the judge.
Yeah.
And does the judge always have to go by the guidelines or can they make a choice?
Oh, no. They have some leeway. There's part of a sentence that could be mitigation, and it could have been in this particular case, it could have been that the victim in the case might have been the alleged aggressor, and that could have been grounds for downward departure.
That's pure speculation
at this point.
But
okay.
I was really concerned because can you imagine how those women would have felt when they found out that sentence was just about the same?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
and,
absolutely.
And don't you? Can you imagine how mad they would have been when they found out what was on Trayvon's telephone? Thank you, Kathleen. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Make sure you stay on the line.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. When we come back from the break, we're gonna take Paul, who's the next caller, and Cafe Positano. A $20 gift card goes to each of them. You too as well, if you want to call right now, 407-774-8255. We'll be right back. Jeff, will you stay one more segment?
Yeah.
All right, one more segment from Jeff. He's going on vacation. He's got his kids lined up, ready to go. So we won't keep him long. We'll be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro, Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart. American adversaries.
Hi, everybody. That's Pasquale Barba for Cafe Positano, and now you guys welcome back. And I'm so proud to be here. Well, today we have Jeff, one loyal, can explain everything about Zimmerman. And please call in. Well, everybody who call in now for next 10-15 minutes, we give you a gift certificate for Cafe Positano. And now we have Paul and James online. Just be patient for another couple of minutes, and you will talk to us.
Yeah, we'll get right to you guys. But real quickly, Jeff, go ahead and play that next bite for us, would you please?
This case has never been about race, nor has it ever been about the right to bear arms. Not in the sense of proving this as a criminal case, but Trayvon Martin was profiled. There is no doubt that he was profiled to be a criminal.
Is she right? Is she right?
That makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
I saw that last night. It makes no sense whatsoever.
If he was being profiled as a criminal, doesn't that once again prove that George wasn't being... I mean, she's actually saying that it wasn't about race. I mean, seems to me that everybody else says that it was.
Well, Al Sharpton called her on her BS just a little bit after that. He came out and said this was all about race. This was nothing but race. He was profiled as a criminal, but this because George Zimmerman was a racist.
Real quickly, before we get to the calls, Jeff, nuts and bolts question. Mm-hmm. Since they lost the case, can the state be forced to pay for the fees or whatever?
Yes, absolutely. There's a statute that allows on an acquittal that they can't get attorney fees back, but they can get cost. And the cost could be for the hiring of the expert, the cost
travel
of subpoenas,
costs.
Travel costs, depositions, transcripts, everything of that. They can recoup all that. The question is, I don't know what state attorney's office would repay it. It seems to me that it should go to Jacksonville.
What about now Zimmerman's life is destroyed?
Well, that's another issue.
Yeah, speaking of that.
But though, hardcore costs, they can recoup.
Right, but there is one other loose string hanging out there, and that is George's wife, Shelley, was charged with perjury. Where does that case stand?
Poor Shelley. She's got to feel lonely out there. Kelly Sims is representing her, and that case is pending. And she's charged with perjury in relation to the bond hearing, which she's alleged to have misstated whether or not they had money or not, and we'll see. You would think it would be dismissed. You would just think it would be. But.
Aren't most of these sort of dismissed out of hand?
Oh, there's perjury committed every day in that courthouse. Come on.
Yeah, but once again, this is the Jacksonville prosecutor's office who's pushing this forward. Is that correct?
Right, and that was just out of spite when they charged her with that.
They're just a lovable bunch of people, aren't they? Oh, my God, that guy Della Rionda. All right, let's go to Paul first. And, Paul, thank you for calling. And have you ever been to Cafe Positano before?
No, I haven't. Thank you very much for the gift certificate. I'm definitely going to take my wife.
Okay, make sure you say hi to Pasquale and Roberto if you get a chance when you go.
I will. But what's this I heard on a commercial that the Justice Department is thinking about coming down with a lot. That probably has something to do with Al Sharpton, I bet.
Yeah, he's definitely been calling for this. We were talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Al Sharpton was out there right away calling for the Justice Department to come down here and bring Zimmerman up on charges of civil rights violations, similar to what they did after the Rodney King verdict. And unfortunately, they're going to have a hard time proving that case because George Zimmerman is anything but a racist.
Exactly.
So it's a loser in my mind. Real quick, Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, they've already investigated it. They investigated it right at the beginning when this event happened. I don't know what else has happened that's transpired since then that would cause it, other than an acquittal.
Yeah.
If somebody could just please shut Al Sharpton's mouth.
Well, like I said, I gave the solution a little while ago. It's going to take the right people to shut his mouth and the right way to go about it. And the right people, in this case, would be Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin and George Zimmerman. And for them to all come together in forgiveness and show people how to practice the religion that they all claim to be a part of. George, I know, and Jeff has confirmed this, is more than willing to do this.
That's correct.
And I think Sabrina Fulton would find it purging, if you will, of her soul and all the bad feelings in it, were she to do it as well. And I think there's a possibility. There is a distinct possibility there. If only the right person were talking to her, not people like Ben Crump. Paul, thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
And have a great day.
All right, man. Hopefully we'll see you over at Cafe Positano. We're down there at least once a week.
Okay. All right. Hopefully.
All right. And you and your wife enjoy yourselves.
Why don't you tell which day of the week you're going there?
This week we'll be down there Thursday because Colonel McKnight's going to be on our show Thursday. Colonel Daniel
McKnight. And what time you come there?
Well, we get there about 6:30. So there you go.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, Paul. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
All right. And let's now go to James. James, thank you for calling in tonight.
Thank you. And thank you, Pasquale, for the gift certificate to Positano's.
You're welcome, James.
Have you ever been there, James?
No, I haven't. I'm looking forward, just like the previous caller, taking my wife there. So.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Perfect.
Two quick questions for Jeff. The first one was, I wasn't aware of that. You know, how unusual is it for them to add manslaughter to as a charge? That was the first question. The second one is basically, as we can move on and other items trickle out about what the state withheld, what is the state or attorney general or whoever it is that brought the charges, what's going to happen to them when we find out they withheld evidence?
Okay. First of all, as far as the manslaughter goes, that's a, what they call a Category A lesser included offense. The judge must give it unless the defense can persuade her somehow legally that it's not they should not give that instruction based upon the facts of the case. But it was a necessary included offense, and even though over the defendant's objection, that's why they gave it. As for your second question, that's really good because that has to do with the sanctions, and that's still pending. And they've withheld evidence, and it cost Mr. West and Mr. O'Meara a lot of time and a lot of time and effort and money to recover what happened with the cell phone. That was a critical piece of evidence. So there is some sanction motions coming up, and they could be fined monetarily in addition to recouping the cost per statute.
Interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that. I was curious
because
it seems like they're withholding stuff. And
well, they did. They did.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for your information.
Yeah, that is still pending. And would that be held, that play out in front of Judge Nelson?
That's Judge Nelson's baby. She's got to finish this case off. It's not officially over yet. I mean, there's still the sanction hearing that they have to have that. And I think there's some pending against Mr. West and Mr. O'Meara from the state. I don't know if they're going to amicably resolve everything or not, but there's still that huge issue about recouping the cost for the acquittal.
If they are fined, where does that money go? It goes to the state. It doesn't go to Zimmerman or anybody else.
It goes to the state. Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's next go to Jeannie, who's calling from Orlando. Jeannie, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hey.
Did you have a question for Jeff?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that don't you think that Obama weighing in on Trayvon, it being like his son or whatever, and gaining sympathy and obviously showing whose side he's on, kind of backfired as far as...
Well, he did win the election.
It worked for him, yeah. Unfortunately. How do you mean backfired, though?
Well, I just mean, I think people realize that he shouldn't have done, you know, he should have just said we'll get to the bottom of it instead of, like, kind of a little bit taking sides and having sympathy for one person over the other, you know, when the you're presumed innocent until others, you know.
All right, thank you. And by the way, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
I have.
Oh, so
yeah,
you...
Yeah, it's very good.
You know what you're in for, then.
I know what?
You know what you're in for.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really good. And like you said, I always think of pasta and pizza, but as long as there's lots of veggies and fish to be had, that's a good thing.
Oh, they have wonderful salmon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate you being out there. And it looks like we already have your information, so thank you for calling tonight. Real quick, your comments about the president weighing in on all this and everything.
I'm just struck by it. I mean, I've never had that happen before. I've never even heard of a case like that happening before. It reminds me, didn't he settle down with a beer with a couple of guys
a few years ago? Yeah, I don't. If I would tell Robert and George not to expect an invite to the White House tour, that was because some police were
checking out a gentleman at his house.
Yeah,
doing their job.
It looked
like he was breaking in. Turns out he was a black professor who actually lived there, but it didn't look like that when they so he weighed in on that. He's an opportunist. He is of the worst kind to step in a situation like this and play the compassionate father type. Give me a break. The last thing he cared about was Trayvon Martin, except that he saw him as a tool to be used to further his political career. All right, we got two more callers on. We're going to have to go to both of you very fast because we're running out of time in this segment. Jeff's got to get out of here because he's going on vacation, and we've got another guest waiting in the wings as well. So, Rick, once again, real quick, your comment. Rick, thank you for calling. Your comment.
Rick, are you there? Dropped.
Okay,
Rick.
Well, real quickly, let me just read this from Carl. Carl texted me this, and he's talking about what I was talking about, forgiveness, and how forgiveness is the path out of this mess. Forgiveness, not resentment, not hate, not all this falderall. Forgiveness is the path out of this. Carl says, Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men when they If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so in the end, forgiveness is really kind of all about you, the forgiver, folks. Let's go to Tim. Thanks, Tim, for calling. Tim, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, Tim. Are. Or is this Rick or Tim?
This is Rick.
Okay, Rick.
Geez.
Go ahead, Rick.
Sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead. You only got a few seconds, though, so make it fast.
Yeah, thank you, Pasquale. I wanted to give Ava her chance to go to your restaurant, but I tell you what, this whole thing just demonstrates how when you politicize something like this, nothing good comes of it.
Well, that's why we're going to try to make something good come of it. You know, like I said, all we can do that, the only way we know how to do that is by talking about it. Thank you, Rick. We appreciate you calling.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, other callers. Once again, Jeff Dowdy, God bless you, and thank you so very, very much. You have made our show excellent when it came
Thanks.
To this whole thing.
It's been an honor and a privilege to be working with you guys.
Have a great thank vacation,
you.
Buddy.
Thanks,
you definitely
guys.
Deserve it.
And
thank
Jeff
you.
Will be back on okay. our show in the future.
And we can't
many
wait.
Times. He's a part of the family, and he's going to bring some other interesting characters in as well. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay, folks, welcome back. Excuse me, I'm finishing swallowing some more of that baby stromboli that Pasquale Barba brought us this evening. Once again, thank you for being with us. We are the American Adversaries. And in perhaps a more practical sense, if you will, some might say, we're also going to talk a little bit tonight about gun safety. And perhaps this whole event will make people focus a little bit more on that. And to that end, we have Kent Arblaster here tonight from SAFE of Florida. Now, SAFE stands for Safety and Firearms Education of Florida. So, Kent, thanks for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me here.
All right. Real quickly, we've got some callers on the line. I want to go to the callers, and then we're going to come back to Kent, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about SAFE and how you folks can become involved in it. Okay, let's go to Darren first. Darren, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great show tonight. I'm sorry I missed Jeff, but when he said that nothing has changed with the Justice Department, I feel that something has.
What's that?
Well, NBC used a 911 recording and changed it around by deleting stuff, and I feel they violated George Zimmerman's civil rights.
Well, in fact, there is a suit that was filed on behalf of George Zimmerman against NBC, so we will definitely see how that goes. That's for sure.
Okay. Don't you feel that to really, really make a statement that the Justice Department, since, you know, they're so unbiased, that they should represent all Americans and actually go after the editor or Mrs. Greenspan?
In theory, but I'm not going to hold my breath. Thanks, Darren. You've been to Cafe Positano, haven't you?
Love it.
Okay.
Love it. We go at least twice a month. Love it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Darren.
Absolutely. Pasquale, you had a point during the break there a few minutes ago. You remember the point that you made during the break?
I don't remember. I said so many things.
It'll come to me in just a second. In the meantime, let's go real quickly to Tim. Tim, thank you for calling.
Listen, I just wanted to let Ava know that I come here once or twice a week, and I still lost 55 pounds.
That's right. So, you did. We can testify to that. Yeah.
So it's been good.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Tim.
Absolutely.
Yep, thank you. Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. Actually, you said if the president were really true to his words about healing and using this as a positive thing, he should invite somebody.
Okay. Now I remember. If he say about Trevino would be my son, I think now the case is done. Zimmerman, it's free. And why don't invite him to the White House and talk about?
As a matter of fact, I like the idea, except he should invite George Zimmerman and Sabrina Fulton.
Yes, 100%.
And Tracy Mark. He could put in motion what I was talking about.
Yes, and now he can show the whole world to be white and black is the same.
Got it. You got it.
Well, that's what the beer summit was supposed to do.
Well,
but
it takes a sincere person though, to pull that off.
Okay, that was last time.
It's a great idea.
Let's do two glass wine.
Yes.
Yeah, some of that
I
wine.
Deliver the wine.
It's a great idea, though. And it would be a great way to kick off what I'm talking about.
Yep.
If we really want to do something about race relations, the key is forgiveness. All right, let's go to Danny from Oviedo. Danny, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys talk about forgiveness, and I was wondering, for those who agree with Mr. Zimmerman's attorney, Mark O'Meara, that he's completely innocent and he didn't do anything wrong, why would forgiveness be necessary if he didn't do anything wrong?
You missed the point. Forgiveness isn't for George Zimmerman. Forgiveness is for Sabrina Fulton. Forgiveness is for the person who extends the forgiveness. Don't you understand?
Yeah, that is the key.
That is the key to the healing, is the forgiveness. And actually, they could extend it both ways. He could forgive her, too, because there are things that have transpired that have caused him great harm. It goes both ways.
Pretty much, it's about if it's fire is there, you just put wood on top to shut the fire off. Pretty much, that's what it's about, forgiveness.
Yeah. Danny, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
No, I have not.
Well, now you
stay online. Well, we give you a $20 gift certificate.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having taken my phone call.
And thank you. Please call back. Thank you for your perspective there.
Okay.
Kent Arblaster, you teach gun safety. Do you teach more than just gun safety, though?
Absolutely. Besides the basic classes in pistol and rifle, we teach gun avoidance classes for children in the schools in private settings. We also teach refuse to be a victim classes. It's a class not gun involved, and it teaches to avoid crime before it happens to you.
And that would have been a great key in this, isn't it? I mean, I think everybody agrees that the parties could have avoided this situation.
Very possibly. And today, a lot of what's going on is lack of common sense. And some of what we teach is the basics, like you don't go to an ATM that's in the dark at 2 a.m., which nobody has a problem with anymore.
Sure. And real quickly, how can people find out more about the Safe of Florida and get involved?
The website is safe, SAFEFLA.org, or they can call us at 407-782-9735.
Now, I see here that you're a nonprofit organization. Who funds this?
It's all donations. What we do is we teach classes for a fee, and that pays for all the free outreach programs that we offer and all the free work that we do with the local high school and Sea Cadets.
I was just going to point out that this isn't just for adults. Much of what you do is to teach gun safety to kids.
That is correct. The outreach programs start with ages 10 and up.
But when it's kids are 10 and up, I mean, you teach how you shoot a gun or you teach them to don't have a gun?
We teach them how to shoot a gun. We invite the public, many times kids, out to the range for half a day. They get lessons on firearm safety, how the firearm works, and range safety. Then they're paired up one-on-one with a trained adult, and they get to go shoot a firearm. And after they've shot about 140 or 150 rounds, they get to take home targets and shirts, certificates of accomplishment, and a smile that's about 4 feet wide. The kids really enjoy it, and the one thing we require is the parents to come attend and watch.
I think that's a great idea, but you know there are a lot of people out there say, oh my God, how you can teach 10 kids to shoot a gun? I mean, no misunderstand. I like the idea. If I would have a kids, I want to start them young, so you understand how really gun work, how dangerous they are. But there are some people that don't understand the concept. So can you explain a little bit?
Well, a lot of people come to us and say, why would you want to do this? Maybe what you're asking. The several things we do. Number one, the children are taught how dangerous a gun really is. Secondly, it gets out of their system that urge to reach and grab a gun whenever they see one. They know it's dangerous. They know how to handle it. And they know what to do if they find a gun.
Now, Kent, is this an indoor or outdoor range?
We do it at an outdoor range right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the process of building an indoor range in Seminole County.
Mm.
We've got contractors, architects, people willing to donate all the building materials, most of the labor, and we're raising the funds right now to underwrite the lease.
Okay. We've got a hard
break. That's a great idea.
We've got a hard break right up against. We'll be talking more with Kent Arblaster when we come back. We still have Johnny Guns with some WTF news. We've got Lair Adams with his clothes. And we've got a bottle of Roxy Pacifics to give away. We'll do that in the next segment. So don't go away, folks. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, Tyler Israel, Kent Arblaster, Pasquale Barba, Johnny Guns, Jeff Sinnes. We're here and we are live.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Tough guy.
Hey, and we're back. You're listening to the American Adversaries radio program. Sitting here in a full house this Sunday evening. We're on the last half hour of our three-hour extravaganza, and we're sitting in studio with Kent Arblaster. And I would like to just go ahead and emphasize that Kent does runs Safe, as we were just talking about, Safe of Central Florida, and the importance of not only someone in my position, a young adult, someone who's moving on the world, moving out of the house, you know, maybe not in the best area because they don't have the funds to do so, and you know, they want to focus on self-protection, self-defense, and things like that. It's important not just to get a concealed carry license, not just to own a gun, but to be responsible with that gun. Be able to handle it in a manner that is not only responsible but is safe to the community in which it is. You need to demystify the guns to the younger generation, which I think that SAFE is a very vital organization in doing so.
Thank you. We work heavily with children, mainly because it's an opportunity that I had when I grew up, and kids today don't. But it's not just for youth. It's for anyone that wants to learn about firearms, do it safely, and get past that fear. We have a lot of people take our classes that have never fired a firearm. They're scared of them. They're afraid to touch them. By the end of the first class or two, they are comfortable. They are no longer scared of them. And if they ever run into a gun, they need to unload it. They're more than capable. And some of them actually go on to become gun owners, marksmanship team members. They do lots with guns.
Kent, I'm a gun owner, and I'm a pretty good shooter, I think, when it comes to shooting targets.
You are a dead-eye shot, buddy.
Well, I get lucky.
Yeah, right.
But one of the things I don't know is firing from certain positions. We were talking during the break about, even with children, you start them off with firing in different positions. I mean, I'm basically, you know, the regular standing, stand and shoot. But as far as crouching positions, seated positions, kneeling positions, and children, you even start some of them with what, a full layout position?
Well, all the children, especially the 10-year-olds and the younger ones, we start with the prone position, laying on the ground. The reason for that is they are 2 feet from a trained instructor. If the instructor has to, he can step on that firearm. It's to get the kids grounded. While they're on the ground, it's easier to get them into a position they can control. They get comfortable with the firearm, and the firearm is where we can control it, take it away if we need to. After that, we then go into sitting and kneeling and standing. This is especially true with the local high schools. We work with the JROTC shooting teams. The shooting teams in competitions fire in 3 different positions.
Mm-hmm.
One of those teams we're especially proud of is the Oviedo High School Navy JROT shooting team.
Mm-hmm. All girls.
It is. Well, it's girls and guys.
Yeah.
We're very proud of all the shooters. This past year, there were 22 shooters on the marksmanship team. They've won the state Navy championships 8 years in a row. And this year, the A team, which was all girls, won the National Navy Marksmanship Championship. First time in history. So we're rather proud.
Kent, this may seem like a dumb question, but I'm known for asking dumb questions before. Is a child who knows how to handle a gun much safer than a child who doesn't in a household where there is a gun?
Absolutely. In the younger children where we teach gun avoidance, that child knows when he walks in the house to ask, are the guns put away? As they get older, they know how dangerous it is to stay away from it and what to do about it. We had one man come to us who his son had taken our outreach program. The next week, he went to a friend's house and there was a loaded firearm. And that kid was the only one in the group that knew what to do. And the father came to us and thanked us.
Sounded like a loaded computer where the kid only knows what to do. But not to make light of it, though, this is very important, folks, because how many times do we hear, where a child has picked up a gun in a house and either shot himself or his brother or sister or somebody like that. It happens all the time. That's what you're trying to fight against, isn't it?
Absolutely.
One of the things, anyway.
Education.
Yeah, Pasquale.
You're good. You mentioned that. Well, today, before I come here, I was talking to one of the doctors who worked in Palma?
Arnold Palmer Hospital.
And he was talking about it's 15 to 17,000 kids a year that die for firearms in-house, and the parents or the kids, they don't know what to do.
So, folks, if you're in a situation where you think you and or your children could know more about firearms and what to do when you have one, how to handle one, give them a call at Safe Florida. You can reach them at, 407-782-9735. That's 407-782-9735. Or you can visit them at Safe Florida. That's safefla.org. Safefla.org. And what's the cost for this for somebody that goes through your program?
For the classes we teach, it's the $50 to $100, depending on the class. But for the outreach programs, for the ROTC programs that we work with, it's all free.
Okay, a quick question for you, Kent, that may have to do with, what's the question that has to do with the Zimmerman trial? I've heard some people that were a little bit upset that Zimmerman was carrying around a gun with a full clip and one in the chamber. That's not unheard of, is it? I mean, a lot of people, that's how they carry their weapon, isn't it?
That is correct. Now, we don't teach concealed carry permit classes, but there are different ways to carry your firearm, and it's up to you, the individual, and how you carry it. But yes, there's some people that teach you want the magazine completely full, you want it cocked, and you want one in the chamber ready to fire. So, but again, it's a personal decision when you carry.
But it does have a safety besides, correct, in that position?
That particular gun did not, but it was designed that's the way it was supposed to be carried. You don't teach concealed weapons permits. That's not what you're all about. You're about gun safety. Is that correct?
That is correct. We teach gun safety classes. However, they do qualify you for a concealed carry permit.
Oh, I didn't know that. So once again, folks, Kent, you can reach him at Safe Florida, that's safefla.org, or give him a call at 407-782-9735. You need youth groups to come out and learn how to shoot. You also, however, need some adults to become instructors and mentors, and you can also use a few sponsors as well.
Absolutely. We're building a new range in Seminole County, and would love sponsors to come forward and help us build the range.
Does the NRA help you at all?
The NRA will fund us with grant money for equipment. They've already supplied us with rifles and ammunition, targets and supplies, but they will not help with underwriting the lease.
Mm.
And that's where we're raising funds right now.
And now you work with how many high schools in the area?
There's seven of them right now.
So the high schools could actually contact you to try to get you to come be a part of their program as well?
Absolutely. Love to have them.
Okay, that's Kent Arblaster. You can find him at Safe Florida. That's safefla.org, 407-782-9735.
Be a wonderful thing for a weapons manufacturer to underwrite this.
We would love to have them on board.
That's right. By the way, folks, I just got this. It's not a clip. It's a magazine. Okay. Yeah. Well, all right.
Hey, I read those.
Yeah, Kent's laughing right now. Real quickly, folks, it's time for us to give away a bottle of My Roxy, Roxy Pacifics in our My Roxy giveaway. Real quick, folks, this stuff is great. I'm using it right now to eliminate a rash that I had. It is a common thing that I get over and over. It's gone. It's keeping it away. The stuff works. It's all natural kelp water. It's an antibacterial and anti-inflammatory, if I can get all that out. Let me just tell you some of the uses for this. You can use it as an eye wash. You can use it for burns. You can use it for acne, the seborrhea or psoriasis. You can use it for cuts, blisters, swelling, rashes, yes. Earwax remover. This stuff is a great product, and it's entirely safe. You can use it on children. You can use it on pets. You can swallow it. It won't hurt you. And it's cheap, too. A one-ounce bottle costs you $15, and then you can get refills. You can get a two-ounce refill for $28, 8-ounce refill for $45, or a 32-ounce refill for $75. Or you can call us right now at 407-774-8255 and get a free one-ounce bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's 407-774-8255. Just call up and say, hey, Jeff, I want a bottle of that there, Roxy Pacifics, and it will be yours.
And what
hey, Jeff,
has
I want
it.
One now.
What it has in it that the other products don't is kelp water. And again, if you start looking at ingredients in the drugstore shelves, you're not going to find anything like it.
Yeah, you should run away from those things. This stuff is loaded with vitamins and minerals and kelp. It's all natural. It's totally safe. You can use it on family, pets, and your children as well. As Ed Roxy likes to say, it's for people and fur people.
Right. Well, Chris is a salty dog, so he knows what it's all about.
Once again, Kent, safety and firearms education of Florida. Are you signing up classes now? Is there a particular schedule or something like that for classes, or can people call you anytime?
They can call us anytime. We offer the basic classes about every other Saturday right now, and they fill up fast.
And where are these at? Where are the classes held at?
The classroom is in Winter Park, and then the range time is east of there.
Okay. Out in Geneva way. Okay, folks, that's Kent Arplaster. Kent, we're going to have you back again in the future because this is something people should know
very
about.
Very important.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Love to have you come back.
Do you see the demand growing for your services?
Absolutely. The more and more people we talk to, they say, this is a natural, I want my child involved, or I want to get involved.
It is. It's something that we should all know about, folks. Whether you want a gun or not, you should know what to do when you see one. All right? And if you want that, call Kent Arplaster at 407-782-9735 or visit him at safefloridasafefla.org.
Absolutely. Don't forget, if you'd like to try some of that Roxy, be sure to call in right now, too, 407-774-8255. Your chance to get a bottle for free. Don't try to talk us down. We are the American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay, folks, welcome back. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and we are live. We're coming down the stretch now. And real quickly, before we get to Lair Adams' closing comments, we've had a question, a caller call about the website for Roxy Pacifics. I apologize. I need to give you both the website and a phone number. If you would like to order a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, you can do it at roxypacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y. Pacifics with an X instead of a C-S, .net. That's roxypacifics.net. Or if you prefer to call Ed Roxy, you can reach him at 619-654-4829. And we're going to start running his commercials this week. Once again, that's 619-654-4829. And now let's go to Lair Adams. Oh, and congratulations to Avner. He won tonight's bottle of Roxy Pacifics.
Oh, awesome.
And
we'll
give away another bottle next week. It's time now, though, for Lair's closing comments.
All right, thanks, buddy. Folks, there's been a lot of controversy, pain, and misunderstanding in the news as of late. As another cycle of indignation and worrisome events takes over a large part of our social consciousness and our lives, it is so important that we remember the simple yet so important adage, this too shall pass. The important and popular opinions of today are merely soon-to-be-forgotten shadows in the oh-so-soon future. So tonight I've decided to take my closing into a different direction, just to take the mindset of our audience off of all the current hoopla in an effort for just a few minutes to get America to forget about it. Part of that effort is to relate to you a couple of stories from our nation's past, to focus your mind on simpler things from a simpler time, when decisions and life seemed easier. One of the tales, actually I've told it before here, but I thought our new listeners may enjoy it, involves an old couple living in Tennessee, in an old wooden house proudly built by the owner's hand. This was an era before the scandal of indoor plumbing had become popular. So the privy, or outhouse, was the comfort station of the day. One morning, old Mrs. Havlick was pouring her husband's coffee when she said, "Pa, before breakfast, I need you to fix something in the outhouse." What's wrong with it?" he asked. She simply told him she couldn't tell him. She'd have to show him if he wanted any breakfast. Well, the old couple toddled on down to the privy, and once inside, the wife said, "You have to stick your head down in the hole to see what I'm talking about." Well, the old fellow replied, "I don't want to stick my head down that hole." But after some insistence from his wife, he looked into the hole and said, "I don't see anything wrong." Well, after a moment, she said, "Well, go ahead and pull your head out." Her husband happily responded. However, as he pulled his head out, he let out a sharp, "Ow!" "What happened?" she asked. "Well," he started, "as I was pulling my head out, a hair of my beard got stuck in a crack in the seat." To which his wife replied, "Yeah, it's aggravating, isn't it?" Previous generations knew the value of humor. They knew real humor doesn't have to be pornographic or sophomoric. But neither were they prudes. Case in point, a Massachusetts church in the early 1900s, in need of a new pastor. Shortly after the funeral for the old one, a young vicar and his new bride were obtained. Like most churches, budgets were tight. But when the young minister announced he and his bride were blessed by God with a child, they agreed. Despite budget limitations, they should increase the minister's salary. Everything was fine. Until the next year's budget meeting, where the young preacher announced God had blessed his family with another child, and he needed more money. Yeah, the church kicked in, as it did the next year with another baby, and the next year with another baby. And after the 10th year of God bestowing his blessings on this minister, he approached the sermon with news of the 11th. Now, he noticed the obvious grumblings from his flock and announced with disbelief his astonishment over their reticence to support God's gifts. And an old woman stood up in the back of the church and in a slow and deliberate voice proclaimed, "God blesses us with so many of his wonderful gifts, like children and rain. But sometimes God gives us too much of his gifts, and even I know when it's time to put your rubbers on. Let it go and forget about it, folks, and have a great week."
Okay, I think we'll follow that up with some WTF news by Johnny Goods.
That's what you put on your feet in the rain, goodness.
Send your emails to Lair Adams.
That's right. AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Well, that's right. Well,
Tyler, I was going to say, they'll know where I'll be this Thursday down at Cafe Positano's.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Johnny Goods. A little WTF news from Johnny Goods.
Because it's WTF time, make sure you got those on.
Yeah.
Well, all right, we're going just down the I-4 corridor to Newport Richey, where a Newport Richey man saw his wanted picture on a Pasco County Sheriff's Office Fugitive of the Day Facebook post, and he decided to defend his innocence on the post through a series of comments. The Facebook conversation started when the suspect wrote that he was set up by a crackhead and blamed the sheriff's office for slandering his name. Police responded by writing, "If you would like to discuss your active warrant, please call the Fugitive Warrants Unit." Well, instead of calling the sheriff's office, the man continued to detail his alibi, writing that he was hospitalized during the robbery in question. Now, this is where things got somewhat entertaining, because others started chiming in about the man commenting on his own wanted picture and how that's not the smartest thing a wanted felon could do. One comment said, "You're running from the popo and post on your own picture? LOL." Still, the man continued to post comments on his innocence. The Pasco fugitive warrants even commented again that they verified the post about the man being in the hospital being true, and that they provided a telephone number for him to call us. If he feels he does not fit the definition of the word fugitive, I will be hearing from him. However, the man still again refused to cooperate, so the Pasco Sheriff's Office continued their pursuit and apprehended him on Friday afternoon.
Goodness.
Especially if you're innocent, just call them and explain it.
You're right.
But nope, got picked up.
Oh, well.
All right. We're heading to the land down under to a Stewart Park McDonald's in Darwin, Australia. Just remember that it's Darwin, Australia, because Jody Marks and her husband David Marks were shocked when Jody was asked by a McDonald's counter staffer if, well, her chest area was, well, shall we say, evolved naturally?
Enhanced.
Yeah. The young man gestured toward my chest and said, "Are those real or fake?" Jody Mark said, "I was dumbfounded. He even repeated the question again, totally unaware that he was being offensive. It was pretty obvious what he meant. I was humiliated because so many people saw and heard. I'd expect someone to say it to me at 2 a.m. in the morning outside a nightclub, but not while I'm trying to get my dinner at McDonald's." The couple asked to speak to the manager, and they sat down with the manager, who said, "Basically, it's no big deal." Now, the couple were given free food, but the Marks were disappointed, saying that their disappointment was in the manager and the way she, and I love the Australian language here, the way that she fobbed it off and tried to tell me it wasn't a big deal. A McDonald's spokeswoman has contacted the Marks and have apologized to the customer, and the counter staff member responsible has been relegated from front of house duties.
I see. Now, after they asked her if those things were real, she should have said, "Well, is the meat in those burgers?"
Which one is more real?
Oh, my goodness.
All right. We end with a Crossville, Tennessee story here. A 54-year-old man who did not wish to be identified said that a couple visited his house on Saturday afternoon. The woman asked if she could swim in his pool, and the victim told her that she could. And then she reportedly asked her husband to go back to their house and grab her cigarettes. The woman allegedly asked if she could swim nude, to which the victim said, "Yeah." As the victim looked on, the woman allegedly swam for 20 minutes before drying off and leaving. The victim said, quote, "I escorted her outside and invited her to church, but she said she didn't have time for that," unquote. After she left, the victim realized his home had been burglarized. The woman's husband allegedly stole $1,200 worth of items from his home, including a handgun, jewelry, and medication. Police have launched an investigation into the incident, saying that the two suspects have been identified but not been arrested. Now, people have been wondering how this man could have been duped like this. The obvious answer is that he was distracted by her breaststroke.
Let's just say, if it's too good to be true, someone is robbing your house.
Yeah. Nobody comes and asks if they can swim in your pool.
All right. Yeah.
Well, what are the bare facts here?
Like that.
Okay, folks. Fortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah, three bad puns later, we're out of time.
Thank you, folks, so very much for being with us tonight. I want to thank Jeff Dowdy once again for being with us tonight and all the help that he gave us through this trial. And we'll be carrying the story forward as it warrants, but tomorrow we're going to get back to business sort of as usual. Abe Katzman will be with us. We're going to talk about Obamacare. Pasquale, thank you so very much for coming in tonight and bringing that baby Stromboli. Boy, that was
very good. Wonderful.
Very good. And all you callers, thank you so very much as well. Please stick around for Mark Walters and Armed American Radio coming up now until 11.
Absolutely. And folks, don't forget this Wednesday night when you listen. Be sure to listen up for that baseball game, that we little ditty that we play here, because you could win tickets for four to a Rays game and a signed baseball. Not signed by us. Signed by real baseball players, that's for sure.